stand, just put your hand over your heart. And listen to the gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man there was named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. Then Jesus came up to the place. He looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He's gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Zacchaeus was a man out on a limb. He was out on a limb in many ways. I dare say he would have been fearful to walk the streets alone in the dark, because he was probably one of the most hated men in Jericho. He was a chief tax collector, okay? This is more than just a tax collector. The chief tax collector, he didn't get, you know, selected by the Romans to collect their taxes. He bought the job. He bid for it and got the job of being chief tax collector, because a tax collector had X amount that they had to send to Rome, and anything else they could squeeze out of you, they got to keep. Felt like the IRS. Oh, I'm sorry, that was out loud. Take that out of the tape. But really, I mean, think about it. We think of how we don't like to pay taxes, right? I mean, we want the services that come with that. We want all the good stuff that comes with that. But we don't like to pay taxes. Imagine what it would be like if you had no idea from one knock on the door to the next how much they were going to ask for. And you had no choice. And he would take and take and take. The man was a legalized thief. That's all you can say for it. He was a thief. Because he didn't take just what Rome asked for, plus enough for a salary. And he was very, very rich. Because Jericho was a rich city. It was where all the consumer goods came through. So, I mean, there was a lot of money to be made in Jericho. He was a collaborator with the enemy, a traitor, an outcast. His people despised him. He was out on a limb. But there was some guy going through named Jesus that everybody had been talking about. You know, have you heard about this Jesus? He's going to come through town. And you know how it is. I mean, the crowds gather whenever anybody important's coming through. How many people, you know, lined up when the president's plane was going to land at Tri-Cities Airport? When somebody important comes through, you know, the crowds show up. You want to kind of get a glimpse, see what's going on. And Jesus, of course, was a great teacher, so, you know, they might learn something really wonderful. And there was these little rumors going around that this might be the Messiah. So you want to check it out. And there was this huge crowd, and Zacchaeus, being really short, couldn't see. So he just got a leg up. We kind of have this vision of him way, way up there, but he actually wasn't. He just a little ways up. And when Jesus passed by, he saw him and did something absolutely incomprehensible. He called him by name and said, out of all of these people, all these, you know, most of them, you know, good people, some of them, you know, great leaders, great religious leaders. Out of all of those people, he said, I am going to go to your house, Zacchaeus. That was a great honor to have someone of Jesus' stature come to your home. You have to remember, it was a completely different environment. Nowadays, our homes are kind of our refuge, our fort against the rest of the world in our culture. But see, back then, it was a big deal to get somebody to come to your house. They were happy about it. They didn't worry about whether or not everything was clean or anything like that. They were just hoping that, you know, somebody would come. You know, that used to be the way with preachers. People used to, it hadn't been all that long ago, you know, but people used to invite the preacher to dinner after Sunday. If y'all want to start that again. Oh, sorry. But, you know, it was an honor. They kind of vie for it. And here's Jesus going, I'm going to go to the house of the most hated man in town. And when the people grumbled and said, he's going to eat with a sinner, they were nothing more than stating the absolute truth. That's about as low as you could get. He's going to eat with a sinner. But what happened in that meeting? No, we don't have any record of what they discussed. Wouldn't you like to know? Wouldn't you like to know what they talked about? And I'm sure that, you know, his tax collector friends all came in and they're all there and listening to Jesus' words. But whatever happened in that time, Zacchaeus was changed. See, human beings had written Zacchaeus off, but God did not. That's the Zacchaeus principle that we must remember to live by, is God never writes anybody off. And we don't get to either. We never write anybody off. Now, most of us have people that we know, some in our families, that we'd write off. You know, just, there's no hope. They've been in trouble. They've done this, they've done that. I have some members of my family that I've been tempted to write off. That's just the truth of it. Because it's just been one thing after another thing after another thing. And you do your best to help. And you get to the point you don't know how to help. You don't know what to do anymore. And, you know, you just say, I just throw up my hands. I give up. Thank God he doesn't give up. He does not give up on us. He always is seeking to save the lost. You know, it's not about finding more good people to get together. It's about finding those people that the other people want to write off. Bringing them into fellowship with the King of Kings. Can you imagine that? It's just amazing to me. But God is about restoration. He has been since the fall. Since humanity fell, God has always wanted to restore us to our former glory, if you will. And we know that Zacchaeus was restored. He was transformed by meeting Jesus. Anybody that's ever met Jesus is not the same. You're just not the same after you meet Jesus. When he comes into your heart and into your life, you are not the same anymore. Now, it'd be wonderful if we were magically transformed into, you know, perfection. That's not going to happen either. But you're not the same. Two things always happen. Always. First is you have a change of mind. You think differently. You think differently. See, he said, I am going to return the money that I have defrauded four times the amount. Now, let me read something here real quick. This is in Numbers chapter 5. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the Israelites. When a man or a woman wrongs another, breaking faith with the Lord, that person incurs guilt and shall confess the sin that has been committed. The person shall make full restitution for the wrong, adding one-fifth to it and giving it to the one who was wronged. One-fifth. 5%. He gave 400%. That's a changed mind. That is a mind that has gone from seeing how much I can rake in to saying, well, I will give back with interest what I have taken fraudulently. I'll give it back with interest. He fulfilled the law and above the law, and he made things right with men. But it went beyond that. Because, see, meeting Jesus and accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, the difference is not just in your mind, it's in your heart. Your heart changes. He was going to give and gave, as far as we know, one half of everything that he had. And he said he was a very rich man. One half of everything he had to the poor. Can you imagine giving half of everything that you've got? Now, a lot of people will go, you know, I don't really have all that much, but I try to take half of it. We'll see how much you feel like you've got. Because you do. You think, you know, well, you know, I don't have all that much. No. But imagine giving half. If you've got two cars, you give one of them away. If you've got six coats, you give three of them away. Half of whatever you've got in your bank account. If you've got a four-bedroom house, you sell it, give half of it away, and buy a two-bedroom house. Think about that. The man was going to give half of what he had to the poor. That changed heart is what made him right with God. Change of mind, change of how he was going to, you know, think about things, that made him right with human beings. But giving half of his possessions to the poor, that change of heart, that doesn't mean you have to give half of everything you've got, but you better be willing to. Because if you say, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior, then I've got news for you, folks. Then that means you give up the right to call the shots. And every once in a while, he's going to ask you to do something that you think is crazy. Sometimes I think he just does it to keep us on our toes. But he is at some point going to ask you for a sacrifice. And it's that changed heart that makes you do it willingly. The law of Moses was all he had to fulfill. If he had given back what he had taken with that 5%, then that should have settled everything. But you see the difference? He didn't do this grudgingly. He did it with a full heart and with joy. Can you imagine when he came to the door from then on? I mean, people are still not going to pay their taxes, but you know, if last time you had to pay $20 and this time you only had to pay $1? Can you imagine the influence that he had for God after his heart and mind were changed? Some of the greatest things that I have seen have been from people who have changed to a dramatic. I mean, you know, a lot of people who come to Jesus, you know, who need him just as bad as anybody else, but they did not live a, quote, bad life. We all need to be transformed. But it's those people that you see who've lived what human beings, a dangerous life, a parasitical life, feeding off of others. When those people change and you see that, you want to go, well, what's going on? What's going on? I'll never forget when I was in the prison ministry, we had this one guy. And I will never forget him. He would come and he'd slip in the back row and then he'd leave. He'd slip in after we started and he'd leave before we quite finished. That way he wouldn't have talked to anybody. But he was interested. Wanted to know what was going on. And then he started inching up. He started sitting a little closer to the front. He started coming on time and would talk to a couple of people. Still didn't want to talk to the leaders, you know. But he'd slip in and, you know, talk to a couple of people, and he started moving up. Eventually, he was sitting on the second pew. And I don't know what went on in his daily life, but I know of 10, 15 people who came to the service and looked and said, I don't know what's going on, but I want what he's got. Zacchaeus was living a life that people were going to wonder and want what he had. Are we living the kind of life that people are going to look at us and say, that's a Christian and I think I want that? Are we living such a joyful life that people will say, well, you know, they've got troubles too, but look at them. And I'm not talking about putting on a phony face. Don't hear something I'm not saying. I'm talking about genuinely living out our Christianity for the world to see. Or are we keeping it hid? Are we only really showing it on Sunday morning? God doesn't write anybody off. And you never know when you might get to be the one to tell somebody the good news. Even if you just live it and somebody says, yeah, that's what I want. Not going to live it all the time. I don't. I'd say most of you don't either. We slip. We get mad. We get frustrated. We get worried. But I still think we make a difference. What I want us to do before we take communion as a family on equal ground is I want you to take a moment right now and think about those people that you've been ready to write off. And I want you to pray for them. Let's just take a minute to do that. I want you to pray for them earnestly right now, believing God can make a change. Lord Jesus, you hear our prayers and you've heard the names of these we've lifted up to you. Lord, those that we would have written off, maybe we have written them off. Maybe we've said, you know, I've been hurt too many times by this person. I'm just not going to go there anymore. But Lord, help us to remember Zacchaeus. And if he can change, they can change. And help us to not give up. We pray, Lord, that they will encounter you. Maybe through us, maybe through someone else, but that they will encounter you. And we'll see that change. A change of heart, a change of mind. And Lord, while you're at it, you might as well change us too. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.